want to just help myself, really, as well as you, just focusing in on a very particular thought before we pray. And it really was a product of my own study of the Word and just gleaning over the Word, meditating on the Word, just pausing over the Word. And I began to realize that, you know, if you just take, if you look for little clauses, little terms of just three words, it's amazing what you can see if you just hover over three words. And so you say, why three words? Well, just because. there's no real reason why three words, but just looking at the Scriptures in that way. And I was going over Deuteronomy as a whole, and it, even in this first chapter, there were so many little kind of texts that were jumping out and say, preach this, and think on this, and meditate on this great truth. So we're in verse 31 this evening, however. And I'll read the verses that lead up from verse 19. The opening four chapters of Deuteronomy give really an overview of Israel's history through the wilderness, or up to and then through the wilderness. And Moses is accounting what God has done for them and their own sins and his mercies towards them from chapter 5 or thereabouts onwards. It's more relating to the law. And in the midst of this chapter, or in the midst of him delivering this history, he of course brings us to certain key events, one of them being at Kadesh Barnea. So verse 19, when we departed from Horeb, we went through all that great and terrible wilderness, which he saw by the way of the mountain of the Amorites, as the Lord our God commanded us, and we came to Kadesh Barnea. And I said unto you, ye are come unto the mountain of the Amorites, which the Lord our God doth give unto us. Behold, the Lord thy God hath set the land before thee. Go up and possess it, as the Lord God of thy fathers hath said unto thee, fear not, neither be discouraged. And ye came near unto me, every one of you, and said, we will send men before us. They shall search us out the land, and bring us word again by what way we must go up, and into what cities we shall come. And the saying pleased me well. And I took 12 men of you, one of a tribe, and they turned and went up into the mountain and came unto the valley of Eshcol and searched it out. And they took of the fruit of the land in their hands and brought it down unto us and brought us word again and said, it is a good land which the Lord our God doth give us. Notwithstanding, ye would not go up, but rebelled against the commandment of the Lord your God. And ye murmured in your tents and said, because the Lord hated us, he hath brought us forth out of the land of Egypt to deliver us into the hand of the Amorites to destroy us. Whither shall we go up? Our brethren have discouraged our hearts, saying, the people is greater and taller than we. The cities are great and walled up to heaven. And moreover, we have seen the sons of the Anakims there. Then I said unto you, dread not, neither be afraid of them. The Lord your God, which goeth before you, he shall fight for you, according to all that he did for you in Egypt before your eyes, and in the wilderness, where thou hast seen how that the Lord thy God bare thee, as a man doth bear his son, in all the way that ye went until ye came into this place. Yet in this thing ye did not believe the Lord your God, who went in the way before you, to search you out a place to pitch your tents in fire by night, to show you by what way ye should go, and in a cloud by day. We'll end the reading there at verse 33. Let's pray. Lord, the history of Israel puts before us a scene that is very familiar to us all, a scene that we are all well acquainted with, to look at a history that is full of its ups and its downs. And as we consider thy word this evening, we pray that the thought that is upon our hearts will be of encouragement to all thy people. Thou knowest exactly what each one is facing, what each one is going through. We pray that thy word will be with a freshness, as manna from the Lord, as a word from God, as a means to feed the soul, as that which will bless, as that which the our arms of faith can lay hold upon and rest in and take on to ourselves. Bless us in the word and bless us in our time and season of prayer. And give us much help by the Spirit, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I draw your attention to verse 31 this evening, beloved, where it says, "And in the wilderness, where thou hast seen how that the Lord thy God bare thee, as a man doth bear his son, in all the way that ye went until ye came into this place." The three words are very simple. God bear thee. God bear thee. What a thought. What a thought just to hinge upon, to cause our minds to turn to, that God bear thee. The context is familiar. Israel have come through this 40-year period of being in the wilderness. It has been a time of ups and downs, of difficulty and hardship. They have learned well a lesson that God intended they would never forget. A lesson never to doubt God, never to question God. In his mercy, it's not given actually in the account of the book of Numbers, but in this account, we discover that the idea to send 12 spies into the land was originated by the people themselves. God didn't plan that. God didn't appoint that. That was of their own doing, and God consented. But it was never up for discussion whether or not they were to go into the land. That wasn't what they were sent to do. They weren't going up to see, should we go? They were simply going to see how we should go. The unbelief that was already present in their hearts that caused them to pause and consider, we need to be more tactful, we need to approach this the right way and send spies into the land deep and further, when 10 come back and said it can't be done. The Lord mercifully addressed them, but in spite of his encouragement, you know the story, and they end up wandering in the wilderness for 40 years. But the scene that is presented here of God bearing his people as a man doth bear his son, is a wonderful picture. In fact, the scene would not have been too uncommon as a man bearing his son. I am quite sure there were many craggy places where children would, as they began to move in the wilderness, children would cry to the father, "Please lift me, carry me." Their feet would be sore, swelling, and in pain, and the father would take the child onto his shoulders and carry the child in the wilderness. A familiar scene. But a scene then that is brought into the spiritual arena, that God bears his people. God carries his people. And from this moment, right where we're at now, I want you to think about God bearing you and how the Lord has borne you and how he has carried you. And just think on that thought. And I want this then to be reflected even as we pray tonight. God bear thee. God bear thee. How often it can be testified by the Lord's people that the Lord has borne us, that he has carried us, that he has helped us, that he has made a way for us. And the entire time, though on occasion we may not be conscious of his presence, in hindsight we look back and we say, God bore me. This is the testimony of all the Lord's people. A few thoughts then as we think on these three simple words, God bear thee. First, to be born is to be loved. To be born is to be loved. It is a word, this idea of bearing or being born, that is often related to being in the womb or being cared for by a parent. From those earliest signs of life in the womb, we are being born. And then through our childhood, we are born. And this is abundantly clear in Scripture as well. Even in the life of our Lord Jesus Christ, it was said in Luke chapter 11, verse 27, "It came to pass, as he spake these things, a certain woman of the company lifted up her voice and said unto him, Blessed is the womb that bare thee, and the paps which thou hast sucked. Blessed is the womb that bare thee." Our Lord Jesus was born. He was carried, as we all are, in the womb of our mothers. But this is continually then brought before us, this scene of the care and love of parental duty towards children. In Proverbs 23, verse 22 and following, again, the instruction comes to young people, to children especially, but to us all, "Hearken unto thy father that begat thee, and despise not thy mother when she is old. Buy the truth and sell it not, also wisdom and instruction and understanding. The father of the righteous shall greatly rejoice, and he that begetteth a wise child shall have joy of him. Thy father and thy mother shall be glad, and she that bare thee shall rejoice." She that bare thee. Parents bear their children. They carry their children. The scene that we have in Deuteronomy 1 is something familiar even to the heathen. Parents bear their children. But God bears us. He carries his people. This scene is something that reflects us being made in the image of God. Something that he does for all of his people, first of all. In Isaiah 46, verses 3 and 4, wonderful text. Isaiah 46, verse 3, "Hearken unto me, O house of Jacob, and all the remnant of the house of Israel, which are born by me from the belly, which are carried from the womb. And even to your old age I am he, and even to hoar hairs will I carry you. I have made, and I will bear, even I will carry, and will deliver you." And what a correlation we have there with our text. The scene of Isaiah 46 is that God has borne us from the belly and carries us from the womb. Every step of the way, he is bearing us, he is carrying us, even to our hoar hairs. Some of us don't have to wait too long before they set in, but the picture is clear. It is to old age, to the latter part of our lives, that his people will be assured that from birth to death, the Lord will carry his people. He will bear them. Every step of the way. He never goes on vacation. He never steps back. He doesn't save us and then walk away and say, "Now you're on your own. Call me when you're in trouble." He is always bearing us. Always carrying us. And in the darkest moments, and in the periods where we don't understand what's going on, he is still bearing every one of his people. We should not be those that have to feel it, though we want to feel it. But by faith we rest in what is true. We should never doubt the reality that God is bearing us. And in the darkest seasons when we're tempted to question whether or not God is there, it is right then when faith must interject and we rest in what we know to be true. He is still bearing. He is still carrying. God, bear thee. The 40 years of wilderness were a season of discipline and judgment. Not an easy time for those called out of Egypt. And yet, through it all, even though there were those seasons of judgment and manifestations of the wrath of God, even then, God was bearing. God was carrying. It is the most awful thing to not see this, to not discern this. Because to be born is to be loved. It is to be loved. To question whether or not God is carrying us is to question whether he loves us. Or, on the flip side, to question his love is to question the fact that he is carrying us the whole way through. To be born is to be loved. To be born is also to be protected, isn't it? Again, the scene is familiar. When the child looks to the father to lift them, often it is for protection. Lift me away from these sharp stones, and they're hurting my feet, and perhaps even an animal or a beast may come along. And what immediately will the parent do? Grabs the child and lifts it out of reach of the dog or whatever the creature might be. It is an act of protection. In fact, one of the earlier passages that use this word is in Genesis 7, Verse 17, the flood was 40 days upon the earth, and the waters increased, and bare up the ark, and it was lift up above the earth. And those of us who are in Christ, those of us who are in the ark, we are born up. We are born up to be protected from the wrath of God. Signified there in the flood, the judgment that was being poured out upon the earth, yet those in the ark were born up above it, protected from the judgment, kept safe from the wrath of God. Again, Jacob does the same in Genesis 31, verse 17, when he set his sons and his wives upon camels, setting them there. The idea is bearing them upon camels, putting the vulnerable upon camels, setting them up out of harm's way. And whenever the children of Israel had been delivered from the Egyptians, when they had crossed the Red Sea, when they were still, the echoes of the song of victory were ringing in their ears, the Lord tells them in Exodus 19, verse 14, "You have seen what I did unto the Egyptians, and how I bare you on eagle's wings and brought you unto myself. I bare you, I carried you, and I brought you to myself." He protected them from the wrath of Pharaoh, from the judgment of God that came upon Egypt. When the darkness was all over Egypt, it was not upon his people. Whenever death came into every household, yet it was not upon the household of those who by faith were under the blood. To be born is to be protected. And so in Psalm 91, we learn that the angels, they shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. Should there be any occasion of danger, God may even call the very heavenly host to come and bear us up, to carry us, to keep us safe. The entire omnipotence of God is right there. In one sense, we might say at the disposal of the believer to assure them of all the protection they need through the experiences of life. There's not one danger you face that puzzles God. There's not one scenario you can be in where God is bewildered as to how to protect you in it. He will bear you. God bear thee, and that will be your testimony. It will be your testimony. I'm sure it is even now, but it shall be forevermore. Thirdly, to be born is to be exalted. It is to be exalted. You see, to be born by God is to be in Christ, first and foremost, isn't it? He carries those who are in his Son. There's a covenant responsibility, a covenant duty of our God to protect those who are in Christ. Those chosen in Christ from before the foundation of the world will not be disregarded, not forgotten. Continually, his eye is upon them, caring for them and bearing them. And in every need, in every circumstance of life, because we are in Christ, we are born. To be born by God is to be in Christ. Are you in Christ? Are you in Christ? Do you know what it is to be carried by God? Helped by God? Taken along by God to face the difficulty and not have to sit down and wonder how am I going to deal with it, but be able to open up your heart before God in prayer and just say, "Lord, carry me through." Part of our problem is that even for us as believers who love the Lord, we so quickly resort back to a dependence upon self. And we sit down, we calculate, we decide, we have committees about things, and not against all of that. We have to think, we have to decide, we have to determine, we have to have committees and let the wisdom of the collective body decide on matters. But how frequently do we neglect coming before God and just bringing the matter before him? And yet he has promised to bear us. In the wilderness where thou hast seen how that the Lord thy God bear thee. God bear thee as a man doth bear his son. God bear thee. The very moment you're placed into Christ, from that moment on, you have known what it is to be born in a very objective and real experience known to every Christian. You've been born. Now, we can't A-B test our lives. We can't kind of go back and wonder, well, what would my life look like if I hadn't been saved? If I hadn't been saved at the time that I was saved, I'm sure you've reflected on that as I have. Where would I be now if God had not saved me? Where would I be now if God hadn't saved me at the very point and time that he saved me? Speaking of which, it is 18 years to the day that the Lord saved me. I'm so thankful for it. Almost now. I was 19 when I got saved, so 18 years. Nearly half my life now has been as a Christian. I don't regret it. Not foolish 19-year-old. So full of pride. So dependent upon himself. So filled with a sense of oh, what heart of unbelief. But he is, I can say, God bear thee 18 years. He is certainly in a salvific sense. He has borne me. I was birthed out of the womb of Christ by the Holy Spirit, brought into new life 18 years ago. And the whole time he has borne me, just as he has for you. To be born by God is to be in Christ. To be born by God is to be joint heir with Christ. Think of it. This is not something that we have to work our way to. It's not a 12-step whatever plan. I don't earn my place myself, showing to God that I have somehow now achieved the right to be a joint heir with Christ. The moment you rest in Christ, you're made joint heir. You're born. To be born is to be exalted in Christ, joint heir with Christ. What more does a sinner want? Is it not a bewildering thing to observe men fumble around their lives looking for something, resting continually in their own wisdom and ability, but never seeing the glory and the wonder of Christ? And the saddest thing, which I noted very early on in my own experience, looking back 18 years ago, was coming into the church and seeing young people who had no concept of the blessings that were being put before them, and you could see the seed of unbelief in their hearts, just waiting for the day when they would be liberated and they could do what they want for themselves, which top of the list would be, I'm leaving the church. You think the Lord in his mercies has borne you from your earliest years, cradled in the gospel. How much more judgment will come upon those who turn their back on this loving God and merciful Savior? Joint heir with Christ. What more do you want as a sinner? It is the height of pride to aspire to something outside of Christ, assuming that it can bring more glory and honor and praise and joy than Christ. Then, to be born by God is to be assured that one day you will be with Christ. You will be. This is part of the exaltation as God carries you. God bear thee. And you know what? He never puts you down. He doesn't give up. He doesn't stop halfway. He doesn't get tired in the journey. He doesn't decide, you know, I made a mistake. all this wasted energy carrying you, you good-for-nothing waste of time. Never gets there. Never gets there. God bear thee, and having committed to bear you from the start, he will bear you to the end, child of God. Right into glory. At a time not appointed by us. In a day none of us have any clue about when that will be, he will bear us and he will carry us into the heart of heaven itself, where we will see the Lamb who bore us the entire way through life's journey. God bear thee. God bear thee. However discouraged you are tonight, think on these things. And just by means of further application, it is our job, especially I speak to the more senior, myself and everyone else who consider yourself a senior in the house of God, it is our duty to bear the young, to bear them when their feet are hurting, when their hearts are growing weary, when they're discouraged with the journey, to bear them. This is what God does for us. And we need to be a church that bears the souls of men and women, just like our God bears us. May the Lord help us. May this thought be of encouragement to you as we seek the Lord tonight. God bear thee. A number of matters for prayer, including the ongoing work, especially for VBS, as well as Generations and the Hispanic Bible Club, but